last weekend, we handed out calendars. And before there was the advent of those printed calendars that we could hand out to parishioners, this is how the folks would let people know the date of Easter, the date of the great feast of the church, that it would be proclaimed at Mass. And that's actually the purpose of our calendars. The purpose of our calendars is not the pretty pictures that are up above, but it's to let people know how we regularly celebrate the feasts, the mysteries of our faith. Because how we celebrate, how we allow these feasts to enter into our lives has a profound effect in witness to others. That whole idea of witnessing to others is kind of built into this feast day, today of the Epiphany. One of my favorite websites to go to is Word on Fire by Bishop Robert Barron. And one of the things I love to do is I love to watch his little video reviews of movies. Because the movies that he reviews are not necessarily where you say, well, boy, there's a lot of violence in that movie. There's a lot of stuff that I don't know whether I want to see that movie or not. But what he does with those movies, like something like Gran Torino, is he interprets them through a faith perspective. That particular movie is a Clint Eastwood movie. And Clint Eastwood kind of famously doesn't believe in Christ. But yet, Bishop Barron is able to see that in that movie, he really is looking at the Christ themes. He's looking at the Paschal themes. He ends up, I don't want to give away the movie, but he ends up sacrificing himself for the sake of a young man who's in the neighborhood who's being attacked by a gang. He himself allows himself to be sacrificed. The other reason I wanted to mention that is Bishop Barron, in his homily for today, used another movie, which was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and connected it to this Feast of Epiphany. In that movie, there's all these people all over the world who have an experience of kind of alien encounters. And all of a sudden, they start doing things. They start drawing. They start modeling. And Richard Dreyfuss kind of famously models the place he needs to go to in mashed potatoes. And eventually, these people are drawn somehow to the place where there is the encounter that they have. Well, if you look at it that way, all cultures, all nations, all, even people who don't even believe in God, are drawn to Jesus Christ because it's planted into our hearts. There's something about us, there's some brokenness in us that knows that we need to be fixed. We need healing. And so, even in the time of Jesus, not just the Jewish people, but there was in the larger crowd of around the first century, they had this expectation that God was going to bring about a king of the world in Israel. We know this from extra-biblical resources, from Tacitus and Suetonius, were writers around this time, that there was this expectation. There was a non-Jewish prophet by the name of Balaam. And Balaam, we know about him outside of the scripture too, through the Assyrians, or the peoples of that old Middle Eastern area. Balaam's king ordered him as a prophet to curse Israel. And what ended up happening is what came out of his mouth was not a curse, but a blessing. And he said the people of Israel would know that their definitive king had arisen when they saw him born under a star. So this feast of this three, the three kings, this makes a lot of sense that there would be these magi, these philosophers, these astronomers who would seek out the king of the world. Now, this gives me great hope because we live in an age where in some places it's still Pentecost. In some places in Africa and Asia, the church is growing by leaps and bounds. But we also know that in our own country, in our own families, sometimes in our own congregation, there are folks that have left the faith. But this feast does not make, this feast rather gives me hope. Because what I believe is that God is going to work with everyone. God doesn't leave anyone behind. He's going to work, whether it's through movies, whether it's through culture, whether it's through experience, because there's something that is restless in our hearts until we find Jesus Christ. One of the great stories that you guys don't get to hear, and I really can't share with you, are some of the stories that I hear in confession. The stories I hear of folks that have been away from the practice of their faith for years or decades sometimes. And I always ask this question, which is, why did you decide to come back today? Why did you come back to the sacrament today? And often they tell me these stories that would break your heart about how they've struggled, they've been away from the faith, but yet God did not give up on them. And something drew them, something brought them back. I believe that that's what the Feast of the Epiphany is about. It's God is making known to the nations. The people of Israel had this expectation, you know, that someday God would have the nations come and worship the true God. But they never expected to see it in their own lifetime. And all of a sudden, that's what St. Paul is saying, that this miracle that we've been waiting for was actually happening. That the pagans were leaving their faith and they were coming into faith in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it would have been like for St. Paul to all of a sudden experience that? See, we can still experience that today. We still experience the amazing things that are happening in those places where it's still Pentecost. There's a whole area of India, in the northern part of India, that 20 years ago was 2% Catholic. It's now 20% Catholic. It's just like Pentecost is happening there all the time. We know that in our lifetime, the most Christian continent in the world is going to become Africa, as it's you know, people are coming to the faith like mad. It's so we it's with joy we celebrate this faith. So what can we do? What we can do as a community is to allow these mysteries, the mysteries of that I just proclaimed the calendar for, the mysteries of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the mysteries of the giving of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, the mysteries of the incarnation, to so penetrate us that we give witness to others that what you're looking for, you can find here. So many times, if people can in parishes can be the greatest detriment to the faith, but they also can be the greatest hope to the faith. I've also in confession sometimes heard some confessions of folks who say, you know, I have a real heart. I brought a child into Mass and all of a sudden my child went crazy and all of a sudden I started getting these looks. By the way, I always consider that a sin against the Holy Spirit on the part of the people who are giving the looks. So, because there's, what we have to do is we need to be a community that is welcoming, that is encouraging, that says that It doesn't matter if your child's going crazy. We understand because you all have been there before. And we also need to be a community that lives out the faith so that other people say, what's different about you? I know I have this need in my own heart. What's different about you? I see this joy in your community. I see this joy in your family life. What's different about you? And that's the opportunity then to witness to the faith that we have received. So this Feast of the Epiphany is a great feast of testimony, and it's a great feast to remind us of the central truths of our faith.